Jennifer Daniels of Lookout Mountain is a singer-songwriter who plays guitar and ukulele. She uses rhythm and movement to create dynamic experiences for her audiences, including workshops for early childhood educators and children in the classroom. In the past year, Jennifer has been one of the teaching artists in our community through the Wolf Trap program at UTC's Southeast Center for Education in the Arts, now known as the Arts-Based Collaborative at UTC. Jennifer, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. It's my privilege to.
Same here. How did you get into music?
Oh, goodness. I think it's just a very natural language for me. Ever since I was a very young kid, I would sing my thoughts. I always knew that that's what I wanted to do. My mom told me at some point I had to get a fallback. So I went to school to be a counselor and got my master's in that, and then realized, you know, I just wanted to write songs about all the wonderful stories that the people would tell me, but I wasn't so good at helping them. So, you know, confidentiality clause there in counseling, I was like, no, I need to be on stage.
And speaking of stories, that's part of what you do, not only as a singer and a songwriter, but in how you help kids connect with the world around them.
Absolutely. Stories are just a huge, I write novels as well. So I don't just write the 3-minute length stories. And then I work for a kid's author, and he's very musical as well. So I get to do lots of concerts in which we do just interactive songs and stories for kids and kind of connect that to literacy. So now that I get a chance to work for UTC and be a teaching artist in the local schools, it's kind of a natural process for me to just teach teachers how to use those songs and stories in order to teach what they already need to teach their kids.
So when you have gone into the schools as a teaching artist for what was Southeast Center for Education in the Arts and now is the Arts-Based Collaborative at UTC, how do you give those tools to the teachers and in turn to the students?
So I get to spend how many, maybe 11 sessions in class with the kids and the teachers before, you know, the horrible virus took over. And now we do it online, which is also fun and really sort of changes things up. You have to figure out little tricks that you can do while you're not with the kids. But at first, the teachers will sometimes be intimidated. They'll not think that they can use these very, you say, you know, let's use basic elements of arts to teach. And that sounds very intimidating, I think. Even just hearing arts in ed, like there's something mystical about this sometimes. So we go in and the first thing we do is just say, nothing is going to be complicated. You're working with young kids and as it's super important, but nothing we do is going to be complicated. They already love you, so you don't have to be trained. You don't have to have this trained voice or anything like that. We're just going to have fun. We go in there and we have fun and the kids start laughing and playing, which makes it easier for the teacher to act goofy and do the fun, playful things that we do. One of the schools in Trenton, the teacher was particularly just shy about opening up musically. But then after just watching her act with her kids, we found things that she felt very comfortable doing already that was pretty musical. She did some call and responses where maybe she would clap, you know, and that would draw her kids' attention, and they would clap that rhythm back to her. And I'm like, oh, no, you're doing it. That's it. That's exactly what we're doing. We're using that kind of rhythm exercise in order to gain your kids' attention, and now you're teaching them something about music without even knowing you're doing it. So, you know, we try to just connect on those kind of ways with the teachers so that they feel very comfortable and sort of highlight what they're already doing. Colleen, I know you interviewed Colleen. Her puppetry is fascinating to me. And I was always intimidated about doing that with the kids. And she's like, Jennifer, look, this is a puppet. She holds her hand out. She makes her hand talk. You know, it's like, you would not believe, as soon as I make my hand talk and it becomes sort of my partner in teaching, the kids see my hand as their friend. They want to pet my hand. They want to talk to it, you know. And so it was fun to see her art. And I even got to work with her online this summer. We partnered up for some of the early Head Starts here in town. And so I got to learn from her those very basic puppetry elements and how to use those. And being on that end of it, I'm like, okay, that's what the teachers must feel like. They're intimidated at first, but then you break it down and show how fun and easy and accessible it is for their kids. And then it's easy and fun for them too.
Because you bring them not only music and not only stories, but as you were just saying, movement.
We do. We pair movement with everything we do. So, you know, if we're going to sing Down by the Bay, then we pat and clap am down by the bay, down by the bay. So that's just a very simple way to keep a steady rhythm with the kids, but they're moving. And whenever you pair movement with material, it integrates the learning. It makes it sticky. They remember it. So yes, we want to pair movement with everything we do. We do lots of silly direction dances. Have one. This one is a punk rock game of Simon Says. And so I'll tell the kids, you know, we're going to wag our fingers at one another playfully and at ourselves. And we're going to say, Simon did not say. So I'm going, Simon says, tap your toes. Simon says, wiggle your nose. Simon says, bounce up and down. Now touch the ground, and of course some of them will do it, and now we sing the chorus. Simon did not say to do that. Simon did not say to do that. Simon did. And so goofy fun, but a great way to get up and moving. And we even have them do their creative suggestions. What should we do now? Oh, let's brush our teeth. And then we'll rhyme teeth. I picked a terrible one because what can I rhyme with teeth? I don't know, but we'll find one. Eat those teeth. I don't know.
I'm still tapping my toes from here.
it'll get that's that one comes with an earworm. Like at 3 a.m. you'll be singing Simon.
Talk to us more about your work with autism movement therapy.
Right now it's in the form of workshops for early childhood educators about inclusion. I talk about using songs and stories and very controlled dynamics with music to help make the material accessible to kids with, say, auditory sensitivities. Okay, so one of the things I do is I'm thinking of a song that requires me to... Okay, kids love to move. They love to be energized. And they love to speed things up. We do, here's one. Mi cuerpo hace música. So I make the kids step and clap and step. And we sing, mi cuerpo hace música. And mis manos hacen clap, clap, clap. Mis pies hacen stomp, stomp. Mi boca hace la, la, la. Okay, well, when we get done with this whole thing, the first thing the kids want to do, let's do it again, let's do it again. I'm like, okay, let's do it faster. Mi cuerpo hace música. Mi cuerpo, mi cuerpo. And we do all of it faster. The next thing they want to do is faster, of course, right? They want to do it so fast, or they want to do it so slowly, right? Like a sloth. So that's the dynamic. We're talking about the dynamic of tempo right now, doing it real fast or real slow. We can do it very loudly, very quietly. And then all of a sudden we're repeating the material that we want to teach, and it's getting real sticky now, and the kids are remembering it because it's fun to repeat it. They're drawn to play. However, when you use these dynamics, when you use very loud, very soft, a lot of times you can start hurting the kids. If it's out of control, any kids, but especially kids with auditory sensitivities. So we want to teach how to control these things so that we can include all of our kids. One time, my husband, Jeff, and I, we do different things in the school systems. This one year, we did rhythm circles. And one class in particular had about 60 kids. It was in a gym, so very bouncy sound. In come all the kids, right? The last child that comes in, he's got the earmuffs on, you know, and a look of horror on his face because immediately the kids start pounding the drums. And you know right away, this child has auditory sensitivities. And I'm thinking, how can we get him? You know, how can we turn him onto this music and not just lose him or you know, hurt him? And so teachers all the time, they'll try all kinds of tricks to get that kid. And some of them are just complete train wrecks, but sometimes they work. And this was one of mine that worked. I started just giving visual cues. I got in the middle of this huge circle, all these huge drums, clackers, bells, you know, and these kids making noise. And I start giving them visual cues about volume. I wave my hands, you know, up in the air, up, 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 and I wave them fast and they get louder and louder. And then I bring them down and I do slower movements and they get quieter and quieter. And as we did that, and the child saw ahead of time what the noise was going to do, he physically relaxed. Like I saw it on his face and everything, in his posture. All of a sudden, he was okay. And by the end of class, he was actually leading the noise himself with visual cues and leading his peers. So it was just one of those things that was like a light bulb moment for me. I was like, if we can hand control to the students and they can take ownership of that material, it's not going to be scary. It's not going to hurt them. They're going to learn it.
How has the pandemic influenced your thinking on how important this work is? Whether we're talking about autism movement therapy or the work you've done as a teaching artist in general?
UTC is all about making sure we connect with the kids on a, in a social emotional way to really try to help develop the whole person, not just teaching them to read, which is crucial and important, not just teaching mathematical thinking through the arts, but teaching the whole child. So Colleen, again, with Colleen, the puppeteer here in town, she has been amazing to work with online with these kids. She got this book. It's called The Invisible String. It's the sweet picture book about how we have this love connecting all of us. Even if we have to be online, on Zoom, and we're not with our teachers or our friends, we still have this wonderful connection. And so she used this book and gets her puppets out, and I write a song for it so that we're teaching. First, she gets like shoelaces here. I'll hold up my cord. Here's my cord. Okay, so this is kind of a string, right? We have to give this concrete visual for the kids, the young kids. And then we say, what can we do with it? We can tie with it. We can tug with it. And we sort of concretize this image of this string. And we're doing all this online. It was such a beautiful way to say, even if we can't be together, even if we have to be 6 feet apart or a world apart, you know, we're still connected. And then we use the arts to pull that off. So our song, I don't know if I can play it. We went, invisible string, we are bound together as with string. I'm tied to you, you're tied to me. And then the kids could give their own suggestions, you know. They could tell their names and they could tell what they would do. It doesn't have to be with a string, with anything. But it was a good way to recognize each child, show that they were important, they're valuable, they're still a part of us. Yeah, so no, that it's been fun, actually, to find new ways to connect even when you can't be together.
And for people who want more information about the Arts-Based Collaborative at UTC, people can go to utc.edu/arts-based-collaborative. For people who want to follow all that you do, where can they go online?
JenniferDaniels.com or on Facebook, Jennifer Daniels Music.
All right.
Come like me.
We do and we will. Jennifer Daniels, thanks so much.
Thanks, Rick.